You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. When the Trump administration gutted the AmeriCorps program last month, thousands of volunteers lost their positions working in schools, helping with disaster relief, or clearing trails in parks around the nation. But the AmeriCorps cuts have also had a ripple effect on First Five early childhood programs. First Five operates in all 58 counties in California and serves more than a million children and families each year. In many rural areas, AmeriCorps is foundational to First Five's ability to provide family support. To talk about the important connection between these programs and the impact of the cuts, I'm joined by Avo Makdessian, Executive Director of First Five Association of California, and Janae Eustace, the Executive Director for the Child Abuse Prevention Center. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Avo, let's start with you. Remind us what the First Five programs do across California, and also tell us how your group supports them.
Sure. We are a statewide network of what we call First Five Commissions that, as you say, serve over a million children every year in the state of California. Our services include preschool programs, developmental screenings, home visitings for health screenings, and connections to other resources. And we partner with organizations just like Janae's to get the services out to communities.
Janae, you're, again, the Executive Director for the Child Abuse Prevention Center. Tell us a little bit about your organization, its involvement with First Five, and how did you get involved with it?
Definitely. Thank you. So the Child Abuse Prevention Center is actually a training center and capacity builder here in our local community. We help families to be a backbone organization to the family resource centers. There are nine locally who support in all the major zip codes of need here in Sacramento County. And we partner to kind of do some of those services at first that Avo was speaking on for First Five. So that home visitation, school readiness, and some other supports that I'll get into a little bit more. But my pathway to kind of getting here is I actually was in the foster care system here in Sacramento County until I was 18 years old. And I actually got to meet Sheila Boxley, the former executive director at the Child Abuse Prevention Center, and wanted to give back and, you know, my own experience in foster care. And I knew I was coming to an organization that did great work to help prevent foster care entry and really just strengthen families at the local level.
Well, thank you for sharing your not only what you do, but your personal story as well. So, Avo, one thing I've been wondering about with this topic is the connection between AmeriCorps and the First Five programs, the early childhood programs. I don't think I really realize that AmeriCorps plays a key role here. What, describe for us what it is that they do, their volunteers, or the funding that plays a role.
Yeah, the AmeriCorps program has been around for decades, funded by the federal government as a way to encourage public service in the U.S. And the First Five Network in California has really leveraged that program to provide, as I said earlier, some of the direct services we talked about that I know Janae will get into a little bit. In terms of scale for the state, there is, I would say, almost like an unknown workforce of nearly 6,000 AmeriCorps members.
6,000.
Wow. Who are providing services like tutoring, food assistance, transportation, early childhood education programs that are really cost effective because they leverage local dollars from First Fives and braid it or match it with federal dollars to create a full program. And that unknown workforce, I would say, is in jeopardy right now because of the federal cuts that are on the table.
Well, and when it comes to AmeriCorps, you know, our newsroom has done some reporting on the cuts there, and some of those positions, you know, people have lost their jobs already, the staff and volunteers. So I'm wondering, you say you're bracing for this. Have you already seen an impact, or do you think it'll happen later this year?
Yeah, we know of several members of the First Five Network across the state that have already closed programs like family resource centers, where families can come and get services directly and be connected to other local services. And I know Janae also has some examples of immediate impacts that are happening here in the Sacramento region.
Janae, tell us about some of those impacts, because that's really, I think, the key thing here. What's at stake, or what's already being lost?
Yeah, so on April the 28th, many programs across our state were terminated. Their AmeriCorps grants were terminated, and three of my programs were actually terminated, and that's our Foster Youth Initiative program, our Home Visitors, our AmeriCorps program, and the Birth and Beyond program, as well as our PATH program, which is prevention through home visitation. And so immediately, we had a loss of over 150 AmeriCorps members, including staff in my own organization. So we had a loss of 10 staff within my organization who had to be laid off immediately. Now, thankfully, we're able to find opportunities for them within our organization. But the devastating news hit, and that meant on Monday, that following Monday after the 28th, it was a complete loss of services and jobs. In our home visitation infrastructure, our safety net here in Sacramento, again, those 9 family resource centers, the AmeriCorps members are the home visitors. So that we had families impacted immediately that were not able to have court-ordered workshops to help prevent their family from entering into the foster care system. Home visitation to support navigation for work. You know, home visitation that support navigation to find Medi-Cal resources and insurance, or even food and being able to go to food closets and access food. Many of the services were completely are gone, and there's nothing that we can do about it besides trying to make it work in our family resource centers as is.
So you're dealing with a real 1-2 punch. It's the loss of the 10 staff, and mm-hmm. that's got to be an incredibly difficult thing as an executive director to have to say goodbye to them. And then you mentioned the families that rely on these home visits mm-hmm. and sort of coordinating services. Have you had conversations with families? Have you had to explain to them that they're just not going to see the services that they used to get?
Yeah, we've had those conversations internally, even for some of our own staff. And yes, our staff have been having conversations in community. We've held space with those members who lost their... So even though they were volunteers, they did receive a living allowance, as well as support with childcare and health care. And all of that was terminated when the grants were terminated, and their health care was actually terminated at the end of April. We had a space for those members, and we asked that we collected all of their individual email address so we can try to port them into other programs, into other training opportunities, or even employment. So we had those conversations with members, and we had conversations with staff and how to support, you know, calling families to say, we're sorry, we can't offer that. But, you know, there is this service in North Sacramento. I know you were receiving services in South Sacramento, or maybe you can go to Folsom Cordova. So we do have a network within. That's our collaborative, the Birth and Beyond Collaborative. We've really been leaning in on each other, the executive directors and all of the staff, to see where they can help to cover those families and support in the community.
You know, Avo, Janae was just talking about the services that these young people, the AmeriCorps volunteers, provide in the community. But then when you look at the volunteers, they're gaining real-world experience. They're perhaps thinking about a career they might want to pursue full-time after AmeriCorps. What's the impact for these mainly young people who have now lost those positions?
Yeah, I would say on top of the erosion of this safety net infrastructure, as we call it, there is also, in my opinion, eroding this notion of public service and ensuring that the pipeline that we call AmeriCorps, that exposed young people and other volunteers to public service, would go away. And that would be a double impact, I think, to, like I said, the pipeline of the value of volunteerism, what it means to give back, and what it means to provide crucial services all at the same time. That would be a sad day for not just here locally in the state, but also the country.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. We're speaking with Janae Eustace, the Executive Director for the Child Abuse Prevention Center, and Avo Mekdesian, Executive Director of First Five Association of California, about how cuts to AmeriCorps are affecting some early childhood programs in California. Avo, Janae just described her organization and how it relies on AmeriCorps volunteers. Could you describe, say, another early childhood program that also relies on those volunteers?
Yeah, I'd love to uplift the doubling challenges that some of our rural communities have in California, particularly in the Central Valley and the northern part of the state. They rely heavily on AmeriCorps members to provide direct services. So an example up in North State is a program that provides developmental screenings for young children, birth through age five. And what those screenings are, if you're a parent or if you care for a child, you go to a well child visit with your pediatrician, and they provide a series of questions and also observations of your child to ensure that they're growing appropriately for their age. And those types of services in rural communities are few and far between, physically few and far between, because of how sparse your pediatrician or your clinics are from each other. And so what AmeriCorps members do in parts of Northern California is go directly to the families. They are trained in providing developmental screenings, and they're able to identify kids who need additional support. And when you have families who lack transportation, can't take 2 or 3 days off work to travel to urban areas in California, this is where the AmeriCorps members really fill that gap. Those developmental screenings and that time invested early only saves that child a lot of challenges as they grow older. It saves our system countless dollars that have been quantified as well. And so you can see the cascading effects, especially in rural California, that this has to them.
Janae, earlier you talked about the loss of the 10 AmeriCorps volunteers. Are there other funding sources that you're starting to look at or that you've been looking at as alternatives that you can now go to and see if there's an opportunity for funding?
Yes. You know, we really are interested in reaching out to our philanthropic community. It's a wonderful time to say the real investment in families is prevention, right? We know the outcomes of the foster care system. We know the outcomes of system-impacted folks. We know there's trauma there. And we also know that when you have prevention in communities and neighborhoods at that level, you have strong families. You have thriving communities. And that's what we need. And we really need for philanthropic partners to see prevention as an avenue for funding. In our current organization, we don't have very many philanthropic partners, and it's really been my job the last 15 months. I'm a little newer to my position to build those relationships. And I hope to continue to build those relationships and really use the voice of our families who have been directly impacted by these AmeriCorps cuts to paint a much clearer picture.
Avo, the same question. I mean, where does, you know, a group like yours go now that you're seeing what's being lost? Where do you go to try to replace that?
Our focus is both the philanthropic community, as Janae mentioned, and I think at the same time we spend a lot of time with our elected leaders because we recognize that significant cuts to public programs like AmeriCorps need significant resources, and that can only be found at the federal government or state government levels. And so we are communicating with our state legislators. We are heartened to see California lead and also join with 24 other states to sue the federal administration around the AmeriCorps cuts. And we are providing those direct stories to our state leaders on what these cuts could mean and helping join the fight to make sure these stories translate into more investment, not less investment for these programs. Mm-hmm.
I know you're both here today. People are listening to what you have to say, but there are so many programs right now that are worthy and deserving of funding, but also probably caught in a similar situation. So what do you do to get your message out? What other sort of platforms do you use to let people know you're here and you're in need?
Definitely. I feel like the number one kind of takeaway from all of this is that we have to ensure that child services and everything supporting children stay bipartisan. You know, child abuse has to be bipartisan. As we know, child abuse impacts everyone on every social economic level. It is real, and we need both sides of the aisle to be committed to moving child abuse forward and the protection of child abuse prevention forward, excuse me. So really, you know, I think we have to use our voice and contact our legislator. We have to contact, and just to say, you know, even here in California, let's keep that relationship there. And we need to contact our federal delegates and say, you know, this is not okay. AmeriCorps cuts, child care cuts, all of the cuts that affect child abuse prevention, they're not okay. And we need to be bipartisan in that effort.
And Avo, same question. I mean, you know, again, it's a competitive landscape out there. I'm just wondering, how do you get your message across? Where do you go? Is it just a matter of sit downs with people, or is there something else that you try to do?
It's definitely direct communications with state leaders and federal leaders. I would encourage all your listeners to express to your congressional representatives and delegation on what you're seeing, what you're hearing, even from this conversation, and letting them know how it affects your community. The one other thing we do, especially at a time where a lot is happening every single day, there's a lot of news, whether it's policy-wise or funding-wise, coming out of Washington, D.C., and the ability to react to that. This is a really easy time for child advocates and other community leaders to become siloed and only protect what they work on or what they are focused on. When you take a step back from the changes that are happening at the federal level, you really see, at least I see, more of an erosion of an entire infrastructure mm-hmm. of public service, an entire infrastructure of safety net supports. And you put it all together, our state is facing some significant challenges in the future that are going to lead to more displacement, more food insecurity, fewer kids ready for school when it's time to go to kindergarten, and less folks who are healthy because of everything from Medicaid cuts to AmeriCorps cuts to potential Head Start changes into the Head Start program. All of this compounded is making for a very dire recipe, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so what we've tried to do is talk to partners and work across our different issue areas to explain that this is more than one issue. This is a combined issue.
Well, Avo and Janae, these are really important topics. We'll continue the conversation. Thank you both for joining me here on Insight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Avo Makdessian is the Executive Director of First Five Association of California, and Janae Eustace is the Executive Director for the Child Abuse Prevention Center. Still ahead, May is Military Appreciation Month. We'll meet the author of a new children's book that celebrates military homecomings. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.